Greetings in the name of the Lord. For a period of time, we've been studying together and thinking together from the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We've just finished, in fact, the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we've gotten into the first few verses of 2 Thessalonians. Now, these books are very important books. First of all, they're part of the travel epistles, a group of some six books which were written by Paul during his travels to new believers and to new churches. The church in Rome, of course, which he wrote. He wrote the book of Romans in 56 A.D. The book of the church in Rome had not actually been started by Paul, but nevertheless, he considered it part of his ministry, because many of those people had been converted under his ministry in places like Corinth, perhaps even up in Philippi, and then they'd gone back to Rome, perhaps in Ephesus. They'd gone back to Rome to start churches there and to live for the Lord. We notice even that Apollos, not Apollos, but Priscilla and Aquila, went back to Rome again. They had to flee from Rome. They met Paul in Corinth. They met Paul again in Ephesus. But then they went back to Rome and had a church in their house. He mentions this in Romans chapter 16. So now he writes to these people, the people of Thessalonica. These were very spiritual people. They and the people in Philippi were very, very spiritual people. They were people who dearly loved the Lord. They were following the Lord with all their hearts, and they were taking a stand for the Lord against great persecution, taking a public stand as well as a private stand for the Lord, stand before the Lord, before each other. And so these people are very spiritual people, but they're people with needs. And so in 1 Thessalonians, while he commends them very highly in chapters 1 and 2, nevertheless, he deals with some of their lacks in doctrine, perhaps some of their lacks in understanding fully the faith that God had given to them. So he's correcting them in various ways, not really in 1 Thessalonians dealing with any great problems, but simply correcting them and teaching them further. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, he's also commending them. We're going to see this in the next passage we're going to study. He's commending them. At the same time, there are some little problems in the church. We're going to see this in chapter 3, and I don't want to get into that with you. But there was some little strife in the church. There were a couple of troublemakers, in fact, in the church that had to be dealt with. But for the most part, these people are considered to be very spiritual, and he's approaching them as very, very spiritual people. I want to read in this lesson, I want to read from chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, verses 6 to 10. And follow this with me if you have your Bibles. "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Spirit, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Now Achaia was where Corinth was. That's down in the south. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." Not only, this was 1 Thessalonians, his commendation. Now we turn to 2 Thessalonians, also beginning in verse 6. Verse 6, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So in 1 Thessalonians, he commends them highly. I mentioned this, and I read a little bit about this, but now let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, also beginning with verse 6. "Seeing that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, he recommends rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Now let me read down verses 11 and 12. "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now let's go back. Let's go back to verse 4 of this chapter. And let me just read verses 4 and 5, because that connects with verse 6. so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Now, I've done a lot of reading, and we did a lot of review in this, but let's take up this passage now. We're going to take the verses 6 to 10. Now, first of all, there has been commendation of them, very high commendation of them. He's going to commend their faith and, of course, also their stand, the righteousness of their lives, of their faith, and then their stand for the Lord. But now in verses 6 to 10, he's going to continue this discussion, and that is that these people need not despair in the midst of the persecution they're facing because of their stand. Sometimes we feel alone. We never need to feel alone. The presence of God is always with us, and God will always recompense evil to those who do evil against us. God will always recompense their punishment, let's put it that way, rather than the word evil. He will recompense to them for what they have done to us. They themselves will be judged. If they don't get right with God, they themselves will be judged. So the commendation fits together with what God will do to those who oppose them. In other words, don't despair. God will reward you for what you've done, for the stand you've taken, for your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will reward you. And don't worry about those who persecute you. Over in Romans chapter 12, we find other people treating us badly. You come down to the last part of Romans chapter 12. And he says to them there, don't worry about those people. Don't recompense evil for evil. In other words, don't try to get back at people who treat you badly, because God himself will judge them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's the word that's given there in Romans chapter 12. So we can trust God that unless people get right with God, now, of course, we pray for people, even people who persecute us. Remember Stephen, before he died, the last thing he prayed was, Lord, forgive them. In other words, deal with these people who are stoning me to death. He was just about to die. Stones had been thrown. He was mortally wounded. But his last prayer was, Lord, deal with them, in other words. Lord, forgive them. And the Lord Jesus himself prayed this for the cross, prayed for those who were crucifying him, those standing around, maybe who had not crucified him, but had taken no stand for him, were not yet believers. The Lord Jesus himself prayed the same thing. Now, let's come into this passage a little bit concerning those who do the persecution. Though it might seem to those undergoing persecution and affliction that the persecutors are free to do whatsoever they wish to them with no consequences, people feel this way. If you study Psalm 73, for instance, the psalmist is wondering, why do these people escape? These people who live so wickedly, people who treat me so wickedly. But the people who seem to get by with everything, they seem to have good health, they seem to have prosperity, and why do you let them get by with this? You're going to see this especially in verses 1 to 14. But then in the latter part of that psalm, now he sees clearly the end of those people. He said, when I came to the house of God, when I came into the temple, in other words, then I understood. Then I understood the end of those people, that they are going to be dealt with by God. God is going to judge them. So God has a time of dealing with those who are wicked and who never turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their time is going to come. Perhaps it will come even in this life. God will recompense them for their evil even in this life. But certainly in eternity it's going to come. Every one of these who have done the persecuting and have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, I realize after persecution, some of them could still turn to the Lord. Paul did this when he was called Saul, in fact. But he did this in chapter 9. He had been a violent persecutor of the Christians. But God in his grace touched this man's life, gave him that revelation, that vision on the road to Damascus, and deeply touched his life and brought him to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So the Apostle Paul then became a follower of the Lord. So God did spare him, but God still had to deal with him to bring him to the saving knowledge of the Lord. But many of these will never be saved. Many of these have simply turned their backs on the Lord. They refuse to receive the gospel. Not only have they turned their backs on the Lord and upon us, but they've refused to reconsider their situation, reconsider their stand against Him. And so in eternity, they're going to be dealt with at the great white throne judgment. Even when they die, until that great white throne judgment comes, they're being kept in a place of keeping, a place of suffering, a place of keeping, not yet hell, but a place of keeping. They will never escape from that place. They'll one day stand before the great white throne and be cast into hell itself. Now, I don't want to deal any more with this, and it's a subject that many people don't even like to hear. Many people refuse to preach on hell simply because it may offend somebody. My purpose is not to offend, but my purpose is to say, if you are not saved, get right with God. Turn your heart over to Him. Turn your heart to the Lord Jesus. Trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You do not need to face that final judgment of God. If you're listening to this and you hear the truth, the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, He says, except by Me. That's what Jesus said. No man cometh to the Father except through Me. And so Jesus is the way to heaven. You don't need to face that final judgment. So I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to warn you. So God will act with His vengeance against those who know not God and obey not His gospel. And apparently this will begin even in this life, in verse 6. Now their future end is eternal punishment away from the presence of the Lord and His power and His glory. That's going to be in verses 8 and 9. At the same time, there is a promise that the Christians enduring these persecutions will someday be given rest by God and will worship and honor Him at that time, with all their future treatment by God being the exact opposite of the unsaved, and their future treatment by God will make them forget forever whatever they've gone through for the sake of Christ. Now, I want to say this again, and I want to say it again and again, and that is that nothing we go through for the sake of Christ is to be despaired of. We're not to despair of it. We're not to give up because of it. Because the value of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, the value of eternal hope in Him, as well as His presence with us in this life, even in the midst of persecutions and suffering and deprivation sometimes, whatever we go through for the sake of Christ, we are far more given back by God. In other words, it is worth it. It is of great value to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So rather than us feeling sorry for ourselves, we should be rejoicing, first of all, that we have the opportunity to stand for Christ, but second, that we belong to Him, and that we have all of the favor and the blessing of God upon our lives because of our relationship with Him. And then, of course, our future hope in Him. So the final dealings of God with both the unsaved and the saved will come, especially when He shall return in His glory and in His power. The saved will enjoy eternity with the Lord, with reward and eternal rest, while the unsaved will someday be judged and sent to hell. That's going to be down in verse 10. And so we need to be encouraged as Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you need to be warned. Warned that you have an opportunity in this life to escape the future punishment of God. The future punishment of God will come if you do not repent and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But you need not go through that. You can not only have it yourselves, but you can share it with others like yourselves who may be at this time apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can have it yourselves. And I would beg you, please, trust the Lord while you have the opportunity. Now, very briefly, we want to go into verses 11 and 12. I want to go just into these verses with you, but I'll just do it in a very, very brief way. Verses 11 and 12. Let me read it again. Where also we pray for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. There's that word worthy again. We saw this word back in verse 5, worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also you suffer. Now he says that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, in other words, in you, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I won't be able to go far with this passage. There are several things I want to notice about it, but I want to say just one or two things. First of all, he closes this chapter, this first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, with a prayer of encouragement that he continually brings before God on their behalf. You'll notice this in many of Paul's epistles. You're going to see it in the book of Ephesians. You're going to see it twice, in fact, in the book of Ephesians. You're going to see a prayer on the behalf of the Ephesian believers. You're going to see it in Philippians chapter 1. You're going to see it in Colossians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul is deeply burdened for the people to whom he writes, and he prays for them. You're going to see it in 1 Thessalonians several times, and again now in 2 Thessalonians, where he lifts up his heart to God in prayer on their behalf. And prayer ought to be a characteristic of our lives on behalf of other people. We ourselves should have a deep burden for other people and should be much in prayer for them. And this should be a characteristic of our lives. If we are Christians, then of course we pray. And we pray, of course, not only for our own needs, which is where we often concentrate our prayers, but we should also be praying for other people, for unsaved people, for the needs of other people, for brothers and sisters, in fact, in the Lord, who have special needs. We know right now, even as I make this broadcast, of people who are sick, brothers and sisters in the Lord who have sickness themselves, perhaps who have relatives who are not well. And so we agree, we're going to be praying for these people. My wife and I try to pray for a number of sick people every day. People have simply shared with us their physical needs. And some of them have cancer, some of them have other diseases, and some of these are very, very serious. And so we lift up our hearts on behalf of other people, people going through financial difficulties, who lack jobs, for instance, people going through other things in their lives. So we lift up our hearts on behalf of these people. So prayer is very, very important. And so this prayer of the Apostle Paul, in this case, is a prayer of encouragement, especially of encouragement. Now, he has a burden for them in verse 12, but verse 11 is especially encouragement for them, trying to encourage them to go on, that they may live worthy lives before God, may be worthy of the calling, he says, worthy of the calling. And so he's in trying to encourage them to go on. And this is many times the way we also are praying. We're encouraging our fellow believers as we pray with them and, of course, as we pray for them. Now, I need to stop right here. But it's my prayer that you may go on with the Lord in spite of things that you go through for the sake of Jesus. I can't say that I'm going through anything very bad right now, but some of you may be. Maybe going through things that are trying your faith, trying your lives. And it's simply my prayer that you may be strong in the Lord, knowing his presence is with you, and that he will take you through whatever the difficulties might be. May the Lord help you, each one.